We want to thank you today for joining us at Truth Chapel's podcast. I pray this word would bring you life. I pray that it would edify you, encourage you, and enlighten you. If you have a moment, please subscribe and leave us a review. We will be so grateful. God bless, and let this word speak to your heart.
For those that shall remain with me, if you would turn very quickly to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Amen. Thank you, choir and praise team, for taking us into the throne room today. Amen. And we give this team an amazing round of applause. They put in so much work, time, and effort. Amen. I know it sounds so good today, but that's not by accident. That's by design. And that's not, that didn't just randomly happen. That's time, effort, and energy to bring the best and to bring an excellent sound to the Lord. Amen. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 13. I want to read for you here a few scriptures today. And earlier this week, I was reading. I spent some time in my office this week, had some busy work to get done. I was reading some of the New Testament and read a scripture, and I thought, you know, let me just look here for a little while. And that's normally how a message will come to me, is I feel like I stumble upon many messages like that. But just reading and just going over again something that I've read 100 times, and just the Lord speaking something new to me from it. I want to begin at the beginning of Luke 13, beginning in verse 1. And the Bible says this: there were present at that season some that told him, they told Jesus, some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you no, nay, is what he says. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Were they the worst? I tell you, no, nay. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, leave it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Amen. And today, for just a few moments, I want to bring to you a word the Lord laid on my spirit. I want to title it today, The Sting and the Stink. The Sting and the Stink. Can we pray? Lord, I love you and I thank you for your word. God, I praise you for your presence that's in this room. It is so tangible in this house. It's so real. And God, I ask you now that this word would do its work today. I pray that you would grow us, encourage us, teach us, mature us through this word. And Lord, we'll be so careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And we pray this in your precious name, in Jesus' name. And someone shout, in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, the sting and the stink. Man. I want to, just for a moment, lay a quick foundation, because I don't feel like this message is going to be very long. So I just want to lay a quick foundation for you here. I want to kind of bring you up to speed with what is really happening in this moment. Jesus is speaking. And he is, we find out later that he's in a synagogue, or he's on his way to a synagogue. And we know that in this moment, the Bible will call it a season, in this season or in this moment, there are there among him people that will tell him of the plight of the Galileans. He said, they told him a story about what happened to the Galileans who Pilate slew and mingled their blood with their sacrifices. They were sacrificing in the temple. I did a little research on this, and what they're talking about is most likely, theologians believe that most likely what they're talking about had happened years before, but they were bringing it to Jesus' attention. This goes in parallel with the concept that the people of this day, that people that Jesus were around, their overarching theme of redemption was that Jesus is going to save us from the Romans. That was their overarching thought. That was their plan. They did not understand that the Messiah had come to save them from their sins. They were excited that Jesus was here, but in their minds, they wanted to make Jesus a king. We see where Jesus will actually kind of leave them in a moment when their excitement is so high, because he realizes, if I don't get out of here, they're going to make a king out of me. I have to excuse myself from this moment, because what they are thinking is, I'm going to raise up an army and we're going to overthrow Rome, and I'm saving them from Rome. And so in this moment, they're telling him about Pilate, what Pilate did, that Pilate would enter into a temple during sacrifice and he would kill unexpected Galileans. This happened. The Galileans, and we don't know, no one knows in my research, no one knows exactly why it happened or what happened. All we know is that there were some Galileans in a temple performing sacrifice, and Pilate's men came in upon them and slew them, and their blood was mingled with the sacrifices. It was a degradation. It was a horrible scene, and it was disrespectful to the people. And they're telling Jesus of this moment. And Jesus would say to them, as they're telling him this story, he says, do you think that those Galileans were wrong? Do you think that it was their sin? Do you think that it was their missteps? Do you think that it was their struggle that this happened to them? And he says this, he says, do you think that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans? And that's the reason why they suffered? Jesus' response to their question would make me think that the reason that they're telling Jesus' story is because they are not really telling, they're not really tattletelling on Pilate, but they're tattletelling on the Galileans. That something was wrong with them, that they were up to no good, and then this happened to them. And maybe the plight of the Galileans were, if they would have been better or lived better or done right or whatever it may be, then they would not have this atrocity happen to them. Jesus lays that to rest when he says, do you think that it was because they were sinners above all the sinners of Galilee, and that's why this thing happened to them, that this suffering happened to them? And he said, I tell you, no, that's not why this happened. And he says, but if you don't repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He goes on to add another story. A tower of Siloam, while under construction, falls. This is also in historical record, or at least the theologians are putting this together, that there was a tower that while under construction, it fell. And when it fell, it killed 18. It killed 18 men. And they were buried underneath the rubble of this tower of Siloam. And so this is something that had happened recently. While the thing in Galilee had happened maybe many years ago, this was something that was recent for them, maybe on the front page of their newspapers. Maybe it was something that everyone knew had happened. And he brings this to their attention and he says, do you think that the tower that fell in Shalom and slew those men, do you think that they were sinners above all them in Jerusalem? And that's why the tower fell on them? And he said, I tell you, no, that's not why. He said, but if you don't repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Here would be a good time for us to say, Jesus, hold on a second. Are you saying that if we don't repent, someone's going to come in the church and kill us while we're having church? Are you saying that if we don't repent, some by happenstance, some coincidence, and or some moment of fate that some great accident would happen and we would perish like those in Shalom? But however, Jesus is not saying if you don't repent, some awful thing is going to happen to you. But what he's trying to tell them is, you perish like them with no hope. And you perish like them with no future. That whether it was someone who came and did it intentionally, or if you died in an accident, if you die without repenting, you die the same way. Does that make sense to you today? That whether someone did this on purpose or this happened accidentally, the people who died without repenting, they died in the same way. Death comes to us all. The only way you can be sure that there's hope in death is if you repent. This is what Jesus is trying to get them to understand. You need to repent. That repentance is the fruit of a broken and contrite heart. That you would repent. It is what pricks the heart of those in Acts chapter 2 as Peter preaches them a message of Jesus. When their heart is pricked, they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? It is the fruit of a pricked heart. What shall we do? Repent. And he says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish like them, whether it is on purpose or whether it is an accident, something that could be controlled or something that could not be controlled. It doesn't matter how you die. How you die is not predicated upon how you sinned necessarily. Many people who are alcoholics that drove drunk for years died in a car accident with no alcohol in their blood. Many people who may have went and fought in wars and experienced combat came home and died of massive heart attacks. Runners who have put themselves through rigorous training and if they were to go to a doctor today, the doctor would say, man, your heart, your blood, your lungs are perfect, but will die of an aneurysm. None of us can put into some kind of equation how it's going to end. None of us can control what's going to happen. However, there is one thing we can control, and that is we can repent today. Amen. Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter if it was Pilate, it doesn't matter if it was an accidental tower that fell. If you don't repent, you will perish like them, without hope, without promise, without future. You need to repent because no man knows the day and no man knows the hour. He comes like a thief in the night. And unless you repent, you will be caught off guard like everybody else in the world. But when you repent, that is the fruit. And then, as he's bringing this understanding to them, he tells a story. And he says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought the fruit thereon and found none. And the dresser or the keeper of the vineyard, he says to him, he said, hey, I've been coming here for 3 years expecting fruit from this tree. And apparently it's not working. I find none. Here's his response. Cut it down. Take it out. Why does it waste the ground? Why is it taking up space? If it's not going to give me fruit, I don't want it. If it's not going to produce for me, I don't need it. Let's cut it down. Let's take it out. Let's get rid of it. Move it out of the way so that something else can take its place. It hasn't been producing. It would be easy for us to look at this moment and not understand or value the patience of the owner, because it seems like he would just walk in and there's no fruit and he says, cut it down. But if you pay attention, he's been doing this for 3 years. Many of us would agree that 3 years is a long time. 3 years is patient. 3 years is adequate time to give something its due process. He's not an impatient man. We know that. He's a patient man. He came year one when it was time for fruit. You know, of course, the fig tree probably had to grow. But in the year of its rearing, this man came to expect fruit from a tree that was supposed to have fruit. It had none. He was okay. He went home. He came back the next year, no fruit. He was okay. He went home. The next year he came, no fruit. He was okay. And he went home. But now he's back again and there should be something on the tree and there's nothing there. And his patience is gone. His patience has worn thin and it's a wrap. His response, his remedy to this moment is cut it down. Get rid of it. Cut it out. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Remove it so that we can fill it with something that's going to work. It's taking up valuable resources. It's taking up valuable time. Let's cut it down and let's get rid of it. Why cumbereth it the ground? And the dresser said, Lord, leave it alone. Now, if you are focused on the unwaning patience of the owner, let me tell you about the unwaning patience of the dresser. He is not going to give up. You see, this is his tree. And even though there is an owner of the tree, an ultimate owner of the tree, it is impossible to spend time on something and not have care for it. Amen. The ultimate owner of the tree is a yearly visitor. He comes by year, and he sees there's no fruit, and he leaves. He comes, and there's no fruit, and he leaves. He comes, there's no fruit, and he leaves. But the dresser of the tree, he sees the tree every day, and he values the tree. The tree is more than just a piece of inventory in his repertoire. The tree is more than just something that he is looking for, but he has watched the tree grow. He planted this tree. He's the dresser. He planted this tree, and he was by the tree all the years of its growing phase, and now he has been patient with the tree all the years of its earing phase, and the tree has still not produced exactly what he wants. But he is not willing to just get rid of it, to throw it away, to say, you gotta go, and I will cut you out, and I will burn you on the trash heap. And while the owner of the tree just sees it from time to time, the keeper of the tree has a relationship with the tree. And he cannot, in good conscience, cut it down. He cannot get rid of it. He cannot give up on the tree. He said, Lord, leave it alone. This year also. You left it alone the first year. You left it alone the second year. You left it alone the third year. Leave it alone this year also. Give me a year. Till I shall dig about it and dung it. There is a beautiful moment here where we understand that Jesus is, you know, in the hermeneutical bridge, as they would call it in theology. We're type and shadowing right now. We understand that God has, just like in Exodus, where God was done with Israel. And God says, I'm going to cut them off. I'm done with them. They will die by my wrath. Moses, the keeper, stands in the gap and says, no, Lord. Let me work with them a little bit. And we see this type and shadow of this moment where Jesus is standing and he's the keeper. And Jesus has been alive for, or Jesus's ministry has been 3 years in the making, and there is about to be fruit. Amen. So we see these types and shadows in this moment where God is saying, I'm giving you a space of time to repent. There are people sitting in front of Jesus right now, and I don't know if they're getting what Jesus is saying, because he's already said, you're going to die if you don't repent. You're going to die with no hope if you don't repent. You're going to die with no future if you don't repent. And God is wanting to cut you out. But I'm here to tell you, I'm giving you a space to repent. Because repentance is the fruit of a broken and a contrite heart. Hallelujah. Can I talk to you for just a few more moments here? And I want to tell you that me and you are easily waned by leaves and blossoms. Because leaves and blossoms make a tree look good, but it's not fruit. It is beauty. Hear me. It is beauty, but it is not fruit. It looks good, but it is not fruit. You may think it's good, but it's not fruit. It covers, but it is not fruit. It beautifies, but it is not fruit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Here's what I know. There is no seed in a leaf. And there is no seed in a blossom. The only time there is seed is when there is fruit. So everything that beautifies is not fruit. But when fruit comes, it does more than beautify. It procreates the future of the tree. And the Lord said, I am not happy with leaves and blossoms. I want seed. I need fruit on the vine. And until there is fruit, my thought is cut it down. Let something else take its place. It's taking valuable resources and we need it. But the keeper who has a relationship says, no, don't cut it down. Let me dig it and dung it. To dig about it, the keeper would take a pick or a shovel or something along those lines. He would draw a circle around the tree. Some say 2, some say 3 feet in diameter. And from the outside to the inside, the dresser of the tree would begin to pierce the ground and to move the earth. To pierce the ground and to move the earth. And the piercing of the ground is so that the soil can be aerated. It can receive much needed oxygen, because it is possible for the ground around a tree to become so bogged down and to become so hard that no nutrients can get to the roots. When you have hard ground, you need to pierce it. When you have tough situations that cause the nutrients of God's word, God's power, and God's anointing to block the roots of your life, you will not produce fruit. I'll even say it like this. Just a few moments ago, we were in a beautiful worship moment, but I looked out across the crowd, and there were many of you who were here, but you weren't here. You're hard. Let me be pastor at 9 o'clock for just a little bit. You're tough, you're hard, and it's not 100% your fault, because you've been through some stuff. You got stuff going on right now. You're so hard in your spirit, you can't let God through. God can't let through. And maybe God can't let through because of people in the room. Maybe you got aught in your heart against your brother. Maybe you have aught in your heart against your boss at work. Maybe you have aught in your heart against your cousin who you ain't seen in 10 years. Whatever it may be, there is a hardness of heart in the room. I know, because I saw enough of it that I decided to not let it go. For a moment I thought, let's let it go. Let's just have a good move of God. But the Lord said, no, remember your word. It's for those people who are unmoved right now by an undeniable visitation of my presence. unmoved. Why were you unmoved today? You were unmoved because life has made you hard. Your job has made you hard. Money has made you hard. Time has made you hard. Loss has made you hard. Trauma has made you hard. You're tough. God's having to break through. Not me, not the choir. No, the choir is not trying to break through. I'm sorry. The choir is not, that's not our job. Our job is not to practice and work and sharpen the end of the spear so that God can pierce your heart. That's not our job. No, no, no. That's all on you, because we can sing as pretty as we can and we can bring this church to the edge of the throne room, but nobody can crawl under the curtain but you. Hallelujah. The veil was torn in the natural tabernacle, but it was not torn in the spiritual tabernacle. Any man that would come into the presence of God must humble himself before he does. And I know you can walk boldly into the throne room. I understand that concept. That's in our word today. However, all of us must bow before God's presence, and you can't do it if you're so hard and you're tight. And you can't stand straight. There is a brokenness that needs to happen. There is the sting. And I know some people in the room today, you are going through trouble upon trial, upon tribulation, upon dilemma after dilemma after dilemma. But can I tell you, it may not be that God is cutting you down. It may be that God is piercing you. It may be that God is moving some earth in your life. It may be that God is trying to aerate you. Because Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. But the keeper said, no, 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 no. Give me one more year. Give me one more year. Let me work on them. Let me move some ground around. Let me move some things around. You're not going to like this. It's going to sting. You're not going to like it. It's going to sting. But the sting will bring new life. The sting will bring new energy. The sting will allow nutrients to get where nutrients couldn't get before. Hey! As God moved through this service just a few moments ago, the nutrients of heaven was being poured out, and some received it and some didn't. And I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. I'm just telling you right now that you didn't tap in because there's hardness in your heart. Maybe it's life. Maybe it's trouble. Maybe it's trial. Maybe you just got too much going on and you're so busy. Maybe you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay for Christmas or how you're going to pay for Christmas after Christmas. Whatever it may be, wherever your mind is, that's where your heart is. And God is calling to somebody today, and he's saying, hey, I need you to break it up. I need you to move some earth around. That's why the Bible tells us in Hosea 10 that Judah shall plow. Because what worship does in a service like we just had, what worship does in a moment that we just had, when you don't feel like worshiping and you don't feel like praising and you feel that hardness in your heart and you just want to sit and just enjoy the service. It's 9 o'clock service, Pastor. We're not doing all this at 9 o'clock. We only do this at 11:30. The devil is a lie. God wants to touch this room like he wants to touch that room at 11:30. This ain't the special service. This ain't the laid back moment. No, God says if you come in here, Judah will begin to plow. Judah breaks up the clods. Judah moves the earth. Judah pierces and it stings. Sometimes it hurts to worship because you know what you're going through. It hurts to worship because you know your pain. It hurts to worship. But you will miss valuable nutrients if you don't. God can't get down to the roots. God can't, listen, I know you say, well, I'm fine. I mean, look at me. I look good today, baby. That's leaves and blossoms. It is not fruit. You look good today because God's a keeper. You look good today because you're in his vineyard. You look good today because you're in his garden and he's a keeper and he keeps you. But I want to tell you, he's coming by every day and he's looking on the vine. He wants to see fruit in your life. He don't want to just see you looking good. He wants to see you doing good. That's why when you worship through your wound and you worship through your trouble and you worship through your offense and you worship through your brokenness, God can get to the roots. Oxygen. Oxygen can come. Oxygen can come. Life can come. Something begins to happen. He said, I'm going to dig around it. And he said, I'm going to dung it. The Greek word for dung is poop. Yeah. Animal feces. Today you can run down to Home Depot and pick up fertilizer. But they didn't have Home Depot, Lowe's, or Amazon Prime the way that they got their fertilizer. Was animal feces. They called it dung. They would take after the ground had been dug and there were open areas and open wounds in the earth. They would wound the earth. They would pierce the earth. And after the earth had become open and the wounds were open, they would come behind that and cover that area, that 3 foot around area, cover it with dung. Water it lightly. And there was probably a period of time where you did not want to come near the tree because it stunk. They would have to, and you can read all this, they would have to loosen the dung. Because most of the time it was dry, but it doesn't work that way. You have to break it up. You have to get it wet. What's in the dung needs to get in the ground so it can get to the roots. What's in the stink needs to get in the ground so it can get to the roots. Because the roots thrive off of the nutrients of the dung. And that keeper was a good keeper. He knew his gardening skills. And he said, just give me a year. Let me dig it and dung it. And I come to preach to somebody today that it may sting and it may stink, but your roots need it. It may sting and it may stink, but you need it. We have preached ourselves into a little box that says, no harm will come my way as long as I live for God. We have preached ourselves into this little tiny portion of reality that if something is bad, it must mean that God doesn't like me anymore. If things aren't happening like I think they should or how everybody else's life is going, if my life doesn't match their Instagram post, then God must not be happy with me or pleased with me. And now that I'm facing trouble and I have a little bit of sting in my life and some stink in my life, I must be waning away and my life must mean nothing. My ministry must be over. My life must be at an end. God wants nothing else to do with me. And what you don't understand is that the sting and the stink are working for you. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you've not been cut down. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. As long as there is breath in your lungs, here's what you gotta know. I gotta know that God is not finished with me yet. It may be stinging and it may be stinking, but God's doing something under the earth where you can't see. The way the roots get the nutrient has never been captured on camera. Hear me again. The way the roots get the nutrients have never been captured on camera, because you cannot quantify what blesses and what curses. You cannot quantify what helps and what hurts. It may feel like it's hurting, but it may be helping. It may feel like it's a curse, but it might be your cure. Hallelujah.
You may feel like it's over, but it may be your beginning. You may feel like this is the worst, but maybe it may be your best. You may feel like God's finished, but maybe God's just getting started. You may feel like it can't get no worse than this, and you may be right. Hold on, it's about to get better. I come to preach to somebody for the next 2 minutes. You ought to worship anyway. You ought to praise God anyway, because you don't know how the roots get the nutrients. If it's stinging and it's stinking, maybe God's working. If it's stinging and it's stinking, maybe God's moving. If it's stinging and it's stinking, maybe God's got something planned for your life. Who am I preaching to this morning? This week you said it's stinking. This week you said it's stinging. But God sent me to tell you, he's growing you. He's moving you. He's working on you. He ain't done. He ain't done. He just getting started. Somebody ought to take a few moments right here and just give him praise. Because you thought God had given up. You thought God had walked away. You thought God had said it's over. But God said, I am digging and dunging. I'm digging and I'm dunging. I'm working. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Ghost, help us. Holy Ghost, help us right now. This is not your infirmity. This is not your infirmity. This is about to be your testimony. This is just a test. And God's bringing you through some junk so that you have something to say on the other side. God said, I'm just digging you and I'm dunging you. And I know it stings and I know it stinks, but it's working for your favor. Because God isn't happy with leaves and blossoms. He wants fruit. Remain standing. Remain standing. I'm coming to a close. Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost here. God, speak to us right now. Hey, it's stinking, but it's working. It's stinging, but it's working. It's stinking, but it's working. It's working. It's working. You can't see it. It's happening. Listen, it frustrates us. It frustrates us because it only happens underground. It frustrates us because we can't see it. It frustrates us because we can't read a book about it. It frustrates us because we can't go watch a YouTube video about it. It frustrates us because we can't see it. But even when I can't see him, he's working. And even when I can't feel him, he's working. And the next year, and the next year, when the owner comes, he'll see a tree that is beautiful and full of fruit, but he would not have been there through the days and the months. Only the keeper was able to be there through the days and the months and to see the progression and the colors change and to see the life and the vitality and to see the growth. Only the keeper was there day by day by day, thinking, is what I'm doing working? But could not be quantified because it can't be seen. Patience is required for the sting and the stink. Patience is required. It takes time, and time we struggle with. It takes time. I'll tell you, I gave our media team today just Luke 13, the chapter. And there's a reason I didn't put the verses in there. I just said Luke 13 because Luke 13 is so interesting to me, because Jesus tells a story about the keeper and the owner and the fig tree. And then the very next thing that happens in Luke 13 is Jesus is speaking. And a woman that had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years was bowed together and then could no wise lift herself up.
her back had hardened. The ligaments, the joints, and the sinew had hardened. She had been that way for 18 years. So we have to know that there was a time before this that she didn't have this. She used to know how it felt for the joy to walk upright, no pain, no suffering. She must have known how that felt, that to just be free. But now for 18 years, she's been bowed over. And me and you would have told her, baby, you just stay home today. You just, hey, look, you got trouble in your life. I mean, look at you. 18 years you've been this way. Why would you come to church one more time? 18 years? You gonna try again? 18 years? 18 years is a long time to be in this state. But the Bible says that Jesus, watch verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman. And that's enough. That's enough for us to know that on the Sabbath day at church time, here was this woman when she could have been anywhere else. And no one would have blamed her because she's hard. The back is hardened. Infirmity, crippling pain. And she could in no wise lift up herself. She couldn't do it herself. She knew she couldn't do it herself. But you know what she could do herself? She could come. We keep focusing on all the things that we can't do, and that's a long list, brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of stuff that we can't do. But there's a few things that we can do. And she could not lift up herself. She could not heal her back, but she could make an appearance. And just so happened the Sunday that she decided to come, the Sabbath that she decided to be there, Jesus was there. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said unto her, "Woman, be thou loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I come to tell you, I don't care how long it's been stinging and how long it's been stinking, today could be the day. 18 years. Brother Jeff, 18 years she'd been coming to that place. 18 years it'd been stinging. 18 years it'd been stinking. But it was just one Sabbath day that she came into the house and Jesus just said a few words to her. And the Bible said he laid his hands on her and she immediately stood straight. And you may be in this room today and it took everything you had to get here. Who am I preaching to? It took everything you had to get here. It took every ounce of energy. It took every ounce of emotional, physical, spiritual energy to get into this room. And you've been stinging and you've been stinking. But I come to tell you, just like in this chapter, just like in Luke 13, this may be the day that God calls out your name, lays hands on you. This could be the day that it all goes away. God. Hear me. Do not cut down what God wants to work on. Do not cut down what God wants to work on. Just because it's not producing doesn't mean it's not over. And just because you may have a sting in your life and a stink in your world doesn't mean that God is mad at you, frustrated with you. It may mean that he's not willing to let you go and he's not willing to be done with you. It may be that God says, now is the time. Growth. I need you to grow. I need you to produce.
We want to thank you again for joining us on the Truth Chapel podcast. May you have a blessed day and walk in the favor of the Lord.